Joining me live over the phone right now today is U.S. Representative Harriet Hageman with her monthly report from Washington, D.C. here on the Weekday Wake Up. Congresswoman Hageman, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm wonderful. I'm back in Wyoming.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Well, we appreciate your time as always. And right out of the gate, Congresswoman, I think we start with the big, beautiful bill and a lot of talk on public lands over the last several days, as you know, and a report coming out that suggests that the potential of 15 million acres of public land could be sold as part of this bill. And maybe give us some background on this and what you're seeing here.
Well, so the first thing I'll say is that essentially 100% of the information out there about potential land sales of federal lands is inaccurate. So we need to start with the fact that there's an enormous amount of misinformation as to what this bill would do and the public lands aspect of it. First of all, what you need to understand is this particular provision that we're talking about is not in the House version of the bill, the one that we passed a couple of weeks ago, but the bill right now is in the Senate, and this particular provision has come out of Energy and Natural Resources. That is chaired by Senator Mike Lee from Utah. And what they've done is this particular section relates to disposing of federal lands for purposes of affordable housing and other community type of addressing other community type concerns. So first of all, it only applies to 11 states. 11 western states, the states with the primary holders of federal lands. The other thing it does is excludes massive hundreds of millions of acres of land, national monuments, recreation areas, wilderness areas, national parks, wild and scenic rivers, trail system, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Also, I believe that there are some amendments that are happening, and it would limit it to lands within 1 to 5 miles of the communities at issue. So I'm going to give you an example of what I'm referring to. If you've ever been to Las Vegas, you'll notice that there are quite a few empty lots within the city of Las Vegas. And I've always thought that that was so strange. I mean, there's a lot of trash out there. They're always blowing dirt, that sort of thing. And I thought, why in the world do they not infill in Las Vegas? Why do they build outwards rather than build inwards? And the fact is that a lot of those parcels of land are owned by the BLM. And that makes no sense. And I have met with city council members for the city of Las Vegas, and there has been a process that allows the sale of those lands within the city of Las Vegas, but it's extremely burdensome and takes years and years and years to do. That is exactly the kind of land, those 5-acre lot, 10-acre lots that nobody's using. That's not where you're hiking. That's not where you're hunting. That's not where you're camping. Those are the kinds of lands that are being targeted by this bill. And it specifically relates to affordable housing. So I was talking to some folks and I was saying, I drove over the top of the Bighorns the other day from Lovell over to Sheridan and how beautiful it is. And the guy I was talking to immediately jumped on me and he said, that's right. And we don't want to sell them. That's why we wouldn't want this bill. This bill is bad. We don't want those lands sold. And I'm like, those lands would never be a part of this. Who in their right mind would try to build affordable housing on the top of Bighorns? I mean, it costs you $100 million to build the infrastructure up there. That's not what this bill is about. It also limits who can purchase. The states and local communities and Indian tribes are involved. It's just crazy to me how this has been blown so far out of proportion, because that's just not what the bill does.
So the map that's been circulating around was released by the Wilderness Society, and yeah, it's their claim is that, I mean, on our side of the state, the entire Bridger-Teton National Forest is up for grabs, right?
And that's a lie. I'm going to say it. I'm going to call them out. It's an absolute 100% lie. First of all, there are no maps associated with this bill, because the very purpose of the bill is to create the maps. Whatever maps they're putting out there, and the maps I've seen are actually maps that currently exist pursuant to the resource management plans for those lands. So when you have BLM lands or you have National Forest Service lands, as you know, the federal government is required, the federal land agencies are required to do what are called resource management plans. There's been a big controversy over the Rock Springs RMP and the Buffalo RMP over the last couple of years. But those things are done pursuant to the 1976 Federal Land Policy Management Act. And what that does is in every single one of those RMPs, the federal government itself has already identified lands for potential disposal. These might be isolated tracts. They may be contiguous to a town, those sorts of things. But they're already identified. Those are the maps that, I believe the Wilderness Society is circulating. But that has nothing to do with this bill. And it is incredibly disingenuous that they're using those and attempting to scare people into donating money to them by saying, yeah, these are all the lands that are going to be sold off as a part of this bill. That's not, it doesn't have anything to do with this bill. Those maps don't relate to this bill. And anybody who's claiming otherwise is flat out lying.
Congresswoman Harriet Hageman on the Weekday Wake Up this morning. Let's talk about other items within the Big Beautiful Bill. It's something that you supported while it was in the House and passed going into the Senate. What did you like about this bill, and where do you see it going forward?
Well, the tax cuts for everybody. This is going to absolutely unleash our economy because of the tax cuts related to the bill. The other thing that is so important from the standpoint of Wyoming is it's going to unleash our energy industry, our oil and gas and coal industries. It also cuts $1.6 trillion in mandatory spending. It lifts the moratorium on coal and oil and gas production. It requires leases for oil and gas leases. It requires leases for some of our national forests so that we can save our timber industry and hopefully start producing timber so we can bring the cost of housing down. It also, from the standpoint of Medicaid reform, it removes illegal aliens. It removes 1.4 million illegal aliens from the Medicaid rolls. It requires work for that segment of the Medicaid population, able-bodied adults without dependent children. It requires them to work or go to school or volunteer at least 80 hours a month in order to receive their Medicaid benefits. It does all kinds of things from the standpoint of immigration. It builds another 701. We have appropriated money to build another 701 miles of primary border wall and construction of 900 miles of river barriers. We also are going to have 10,000 new ICE personnel, immigration judges. We're going to increase the capacity for beds for detention. It really kind of delivers on all of the promises that President Trump and the Republicans made in this last election.
There have been some that have risen concerns over the increase in the national debt with the bill. Do you have any concerns, or what's your response to that?
My response to that is that is CBO once again attempting to put the thumb on the scale of continued government spending and trying to fight back against tax cuts for the American public. The CBO does not do dynamic scoring. So an example of why they're so far off, and they're absolutely wrong about this adding to the deficit. In fact, for the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the CBO scored that as adding $1.7 trillion to the debt. It actually brought in an additional over $1.5 trillion to the Treasury. The CBO is, what I'll say about the CBO is that they are wrong 100% of the time. It just kind of depends on the magnitude. But in the Natural Resource Committee, for example, that I am a part of, by unleashing our energy industry, by bringing, we can generate additional revenue for the Treasury. We have scored that coming out of our committee by not doing dynamic scoring. We have scored that will generate over $18 billion. The economists say it will generate over $100 billion for the Treasury. We have, in terms of the immigration side of it, we were allowed in the judiciary to spend an additional $100 billion for border control, additional judges, as I've just mentioned, additional ICE agents, because we have created a fee structure for the people who use the immigration system. We're actually going to be generating $77 billion through our immigration system. So what happens with the CBO is that they want money coming into the feds. So they are constantly, whenever we try to cut taxes, they score that in a way that is absolutely wrong. And then when we cut spending, they also score that as costing the Treasury money. So for example, if we were to cut the federal Department of Education, the CBO scores that as a huge cost to America if we actually abolish an agency, which makes no sense whatsoever. So what I'll say is that the CBO is wrong on that, and the economists that we're working with will demonstrate that over and over and over again. CBO does not want us to give tax breaks to the American public, and they do not want to cut spending. So this is one of the ways that they put the thumb on the scale of bigger government.
Congresswoman Harriet Hageman on the Weekday Wake Up this morning. Congresswoman, it looks like you are going back to in-person town hall appearances, which I'm assuming is what you're doing in Wyoming while you are back in the Cowboy State. For a while, those went to kind of remote sessions. That maybe touch on that, if you will, and going back to in-person town halls.
So this week so far, I've had three town halls, Cody, Grable, and last night I was in Gillette. And today I'm going to be in Crook County. I will be in Hewlett. And tomorrow morning I will be in Newcastle. And it's wonderful to get back out on the road. I ended up having to do two of my town halls by doing a teletown hall format. But I am now, I think I'm at 13 town halls. I've only done two of them over the telephone. The others have all been in person, and it's great to be back out with the people. One of the things that is happening that's very clear to me is that the Democrats are losing the argument right now. Inflation is not skyrocketing. That's what they predicted would happen with the tariffs. They predicted that we would, you know, they predicted such a terrible doom and gloom type scenario with every single decision that President Trump has made. And they've been wrong across the board. And they're kind of losing their minds over it. And so what I have is there are Democrats who come to these town halls. They have no interest in engaging in a discussion, finding out what I'm doing. In Grable the other night, there were maybe four or five people there that did nothing but scream for a solid hour. Now, I continued talking, and I gave my presentation, and I took questions and tried to have a discussion with some of the people in the room. But it's just that's the way that they're going to try to prevent us from engaging with the constituency, is just to shout us down. But we're not allowing that to happen. We're out doing the town halls, and it's great to be out with the citizens of Wyoming.
Well, Congresswoman, appreciate your time. Just one final question. Want to get your thoughts on what's happening with Iran and Israel and the conflict, and how much should the United States be involved is the question right now.
I think things are obviously in flux in terms of the United States' involvement with this. We need to support our ally Israel in the Middle East. Iran is the largest supporter of international terrorism. And the people of Iran want to be free from that regime. I think over the next couple of days, we're going to find out how this is going to play out. I don't have the answers for that right now. I'm watching with interest. I'm visiting with people in D.C. and staying abreast of what's happening. But I think right now it's just a matter of flux. And I think the next couple of days will tell us where we're going to go.
Congresswoman Harriet Hageman on the Weekday Wake Up. Anything we missed you'd like to touch on today?
No, I think, Duke, we got a lot of things covered in that 15 minutes.
That we did very much. That's Congresswoman Harriet Hageman this morning on the Weekday Wake Up. It's all part of the SVI Radio Network.